welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this glorious and victorious day, God. We thank you for the preparation of life, health, and strength, God. Now, God, we need to hear from you, God. Touch these lips of clay that I may proclaim your truth. By the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. I greet you with that name that's above every name. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Truly, I'm appreciative just to be back home. This is home. There's no place like home. There are a lot of beautiful places around the country, but there's no place like home. My usher women, did y'all see them in their lovely red? Don't they look beautiful? They are on one accord, and I was reminding them that I'm appreciative. I said, they look very Christmassy. And the church looks beautiful as well. You know, I just want to say to the church that, you know, on behalf of me and my wife, we are deeply appreciative of all that you all do for us and make us feel welcome. This wasn't something I planned to say, but, you know, every time I stand here, y'all can't see it, but I'm as nervous can be. Because whoever should stand behind this sacred desk, you got to take what you do serious. I don't know if everything I say is God is pleased with it, because God doesn't get anything out of the preaching. The preaching is for you. God gets out, he gets what we put out of our praise and our worship. So we have to enter these gates with thanksgiving and look to him, the great author and the finisher of our faith. So I'm appreciative of everything that you all do for me and my wife, and we don't take that lightly. So thank you very much. Today, it's going to be a little different. These are the three passage of scriptures that I want to highlight for you today. I'm going to give you some time to find them. Songs 119, 105. Songs 119, 105. 1 Thessalonians 1:8. Songs 119, 105. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. And then Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 14 and 15. Songs 119, 105, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 8, 1, chapter 1, verse 8, and then Matthew 5 and 14. It'll be 14 and 15 verses. This is what you would call, when I was in school, a topical sermon. I'm not going to do a whole lot of exegetical, but I'm going to do a lot of what is needed during this time of the season. So I'm going to have you sit, because I don't want you to be turning pages because you don't know where all the books are. So you can turn pages quietly. I'm standing and I'm representing God for you today. Is that all right? Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 1 Thessalonians I had all this marked for me. Now I can't find my mark. First Thessalonians, it says the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Arcadia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. Your faith is known everywhere. Matthew says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. The word of the Lord. Think with me from this thought. The book, the bell, and the candle. The book, the bell, and the candle. They must remind us of who we are. If you know who you are, you will know what to do. The season in which we are in is called Advent. Advent is the period of four Sundays and weeks before Christmas, or sometime from the 1st of December to Christmas Day. Advent means coming in Latin. This is the coming of Jesus into the world. Christians use the four Sundays and weeks of Advent to prepare and remember the real reason and the meaning for the Christmas celebration. One candle is lit on the first Sunday of Advent, two are lit on the second Sunday, and so on and so forth. Each candle has a different meaning in Christianity. Different churches have given them different meanings, but I was taught the following. The first candle symbolizes hope and is called the prophet candle. Isaiah and other prophets in the Bible predicted the coming of Jesus. The second candle represents peace and is called the angel candle. The angel announced that Jesus came to bring peace. The third candle is where we are today. It symbolizes joy and is called the shepherd's candle. The angels announced that Jesus came for the humble, the unimportant, the people like the shepherds. The fourth candle symbolizes love, God's boundless love for us and our love for one another. That's what this season is all about. That's where we find ourselves here today. The most popular book or books being read around this time of the year are those which deal with the magical meaning of Christmas. Children books like Christmas in a Manger, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, A Charlie Brown Christmas Story, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. The bell is only mentioned two times in the Bible, and like the book, it too has importance during this time. Bells are significant in the Christmas celebration. They are used as Christmas decorations, ornaments, necklaces around the neck. There are different types of bells. There are the hand bells. There's the school bell. There's the doorbell. There's the Christmas bell. There's the sleigh bell. They come in all colors, shapes, and sizes. They make different sounds. They are even made into music. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells. All the way. Even where we live in the most iconic city, the Liberty Bell, the historical Liberty Bell, which is a symbol of American independence. And finally, the bell of my own heritage, the denim bell. My grandmother would ring that bell, and wherever you were, you better come running, because it was time to eat. There are many different reasons why candles are associated with Christmas. One of the earliest records of candles being used at Christmas is from the Middle Ages, where a large candle was used to represent the Star of Bethlehem. Candles are used during Hanukkah, the Jewish festival of lights, which is also celebrated during winter. Candles are used in the celebration of Kwanzaa, where a special candle holder called a kanara that holds seven candles is used. Perhaps the most famous use of candles at Christmas are Christmas carols by candlelight services. These are services when the church is only lit by candles. The point here is Christmas is a season rich in tradition. We use candles for many occasions. We use candles for birthday celebrations, for wedding celebrations, to even create the desired atmosphere or the mood. Let's look at the art of this as let's look at the rest of our text. The book that is being referenced in this verse is the Bible. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The book, the phrase for the book is the light-giving word. All too often we have what is called a nodding acquaintance with the Bible. In other words, it's like when you meet someone for the first time, you get the person's name and then you forget it. And then you ask it again and then you forget it again. And meanwhile, you go on meeting this person, chatting with this person, until the awkward moment comes when you have to reintroduce this nameless person to a third party. And what you do is, oh, here is my old friend. What we should know, we pretend that we know, and worst of all, we do not know. This is the way it is with so many people and the Bible. Just because you can quote a few passages of scripture and recognize some familiar phrases, especially if they sound like the King James Version, the book itself is still elusive and unknown. It is awkward for us to conceal that we don't know very much about the Bible. It is difficult to figure out how to get reintroduced without concealing our illiteracy. Hearing the Bible in church was the way in which post-Christians for thousands of years became familiar with Scripture. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We are walkers through the city of this world, and we are often called to go out into its darkness. Each man, each woman should use the word of God personally, practically, and habitually, that he or she may see his way and see what lies in front of them. David is saying his word is a flaming torch. He can see the difficulties of the road by its beam. There was a time that passengers in the old time days carried what is called a lantern, so they would not fall into open sewers or stumble over feces which defiled the road. They were careful where they walk. See, the purpose of the Bible is to carry the message of God. It is God's notebook of love and salvation. It is to give guidance in the act of the daily life. See, by the light of this lamp, the difference between truth and false doctrine may be discerned. By the light of the lamp, faith is made possible. By the light of the lamp, the crooked places in our lives are made straight. By the light of the lamp, error and immorality may be reproved. We have to stop allowing events like the recent shooting at the Pensacola Naval Base to remind us that we only have a nodding acquaintance with the book. Or a life-threatening illness to occur to a loved one because we realize that the lamp under our feet helps us to see the path and any danger that may be in our way. That's why the hymn writer states, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. In other words, the step of a good man, of a good woman, are ordered by the Lord. It is our heartfelt gratitude to God for always being with us. Every step that we take in our life, God is continuing to watch over you. Even through our nastiness, he's still God all by himself. So that's why we can come here and celebrate and look to this great author and the finisher of our faith. The book is not to be carried in our hands only, but carried in our hearts. Don't wait for things to go wrong before you are acquainted with the book. You got to read the book for yourself. You got to be the Berean. You got to read what God say. Don't always take my word. Don't always take the preacher's word. Take God's word, because that's the lamp that's going to illuminate your pathway. This is the book. The sermon today may not be hermeneutically correct, but the book is the book. That's the book. Amen. The bell. Bell's whole meanings at times to remind us the Lord message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. It says your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about you. Your faith is known everywhere. Can you imagine somebody say, your faith, Redeemer, is known everywhere? We know you're in the suburbs. Your faith in God. See, on Paul's second missionary journey, he found the Thessalonian church. See, despite their problems in the past, the Thessalonians, who were formerly imitators, have now become a model and an example to others. The Thessalonians were non-Jews who turned from their idols and joyfully received the gospel despite persecution. See, Paul was so grateful to God for even in faraway countries, the tale of their conversion was told with wonders. The three great Christian virtues were evident in them, which were faith, love, and hope. The Thessalonian Christians distinguished themselves because they received the word even in much affliction. The message they heard came with adversity, yet they received it, and Paul thanked God because of it. See, the New King James Version states it this way: from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Sounded forth means a loud ringing sound, as that of a trumpet blast. See, the good work the Lord did among the Thessalonians became known all over the region. And everyone talked about the changes. When the apostle says that the faith of the Thessalonians is spread abroad in every place, the meaning is that the report of their joyful reception of the gospel had excited universal attention. That means even over in Dubai, they were already talking about you. They already knew of your history. They already knew of your faithfulness. They already knew of your walk. I'm reminded of Dr. Martin Luther King, his "I Have a Dream" speak. He says, if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. He said, land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim pride, from every mountaintop, he says, let freedom reign. See, the church is God's trumpet. And the purpose that he has in view in setting it in the world is to make all men know the fellowship of his mystery, that through it there may ring out the good and the glorious news of Jesus Christ, that through it ring out a call to be awakened, that through it rang out that no man is an end to himself, but every man is a means. God means of making his voice heard in the world is through human lips in order that it may reach the deaf ears. It may reach those that would not have an opportunity to hear. See, the church is a covenant relationship with God. Whether he elects us and summons us to go and out and ring the bell of his goodness. He summons us to ring the bell of his mercy. He summons us to ring the bell of his love. He summons us to ring the bell of his forgiveness. Are you willing to ring the bell of Jesus Christ? His coming, he's on the way back. He's looking for a church without church but blemish. Ring the bell. The bell. The bell, the light that rings. The light that rings. I'm almost done. But I got to deal with the candle. We dealt with the book. We dealt with the bell. Now we got to deal with the candle. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it on a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. The candle is the light that shines everywhere. The light that shines everywhere. See, Jewish tradition considered Israel and Jerusalem the light of the world. However, in its highest or truest sense, the world, the word belongs to Christ and him alone. See, Christ is truly the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world in John 8. In Jesus' day, a small wicker lamp gave little light in the average home. You remember when the woman lost her coin? The Bible says she searched for it. It wasn't very much light coming in there. I think they may have had a small window. That's why it was so difficult for her to find it. The comparison to the candle or the lamp in this verse that even here the disciples are spoken of as shining in the world with a derived brightness flowing through them from the fountain of light. See, the fountain of light is Jesus Christ. So because we're connected with him, even though you might see your light as a dim light, but you're connected to the fountain of light. And if they can see the fountain of light, God knows they can see your light. So even the disciples, they were a light of brightness. In other words, we shine with the light of Jesus upon the world. Candles are not lit to be looked at. Candles are not lit to just let something else maybe seen by them. So it is with religion. It is given that we may benefit others. The benefit is not always for you, it's for somebody else. It is not to be concealed, but suffered to show itself, to shed light on a surrounding wicked world. The influence we are to have on others is like a city on a hill. I know it. Christ has set the light of the gospel in us to illuminate the whole house and all the families of the world. In other words, above so bright that everyone can see. Even when you're at work, your bulb is so bright that everyone knows you. Even in your community, your bulb is so bright that everybody, your neighbors know you. Even when you're in church, your bulb is so bright that everybody can see you. The Christian life for us is not without some pain. It marks us and places us in view. To be a beacon light beckoning the wayward and the lost and those who are disturbed a place of comfort that they can come in and take rest. The eyes of the world are upon us, and therefore we cannot put this light under a bushel or anything which may hide and hinder its light and usefulness. We are truly the light of the world, which means we are not only light receivers, but we also are light givers. We must have a greater concern than only to ourselves. We cannot live only to ourselves. We must have someone to shine on and do so lovingly. See, the objective of shining is not that men may see how good we are, nor even see us at all, but they may see grace in us and God in us and cry out the old hymn, "Shine on me." Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. See, stars show up at night, but they burn bright all the time. However, we can only see them when they are surrounded by darkness. That's the only time you can see a star. If you don't go after what you want, you never have it. And if you don't ask, the answer is always no. And if you don't step forward, you will always be in the same place. See, when this song was first written during the early 1900s, African-American voice was suppressed by great darkness. For God has saw fit to brighten the path. He has allowed African-Americans to become more than conquerors. In the political scene, we see senators, we see mayors, we see governors. We even had our first African-American president. In the corporate sector, there are CEOs, CFOs. In the private sectors, there are doctors, lawyers, to burn bright, not only during the day, but also at night. Shine on, the light says. I'm done, but I got to tell you this story. The story is about the pencil maker. The pencil maker took the pencils aside just before putting them in the box. "There are five things you need to know," he told the pencils. He said, "Before I send you in the world, there are five things you need to know." He said, "Always remember them, never forget them, and you become the best pencil that you can be." How many of you want to be a pencil? The first thing he said, you will be able to do many great things, but only if you allow yourself to be held in somebody's hands. He said, the second thing, you will experience a painful sharpness from time to time, but you'll need it to become a better pencil. He said, the third thing, you will be able to correct any mistakes that you make. Therefore, don't stop. Keep on moving forward. He said, the fourth thing, the most important part of you is always what's inside of you. Then finally, he says, on every surface you will use, you must leave your mark. That's the mark of the Christian. Every place that you go, every step that you take, you got to leave an imprint. It's got to be a signature, the label of Jesus that works into your life. No matter what the conditions, you must continue to write. Charles Wesley's meter hymn, he says, a charge to keep I have. He said, a God to glorify, who gave his son my soul to save and fit it for the sky. To serve this present age, my calling to fulfill. He said, and oh, it may my powers engage to do my master's will. That's what we're about as a church. Just like the pencil, the book serves as a reminder of the practical use of the word of God in our life as a believer. It has been said that the greatest ability is dependability. And as Christians, we have learned to walk by faith, not by sight. We're leaning on Jesus. We're leaning on him. He becomes the post for us. See, faithful feet allows God's word to be the light that helps us follow the right path. The ringing of the bell reminds us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing is the word of God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Then right, it says, shine on me, oh Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. How many know that? Shine on me, oh Lord, shine on me. Stand on your feet. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. The doors of the church have opened. Is there one today that won't accept this Jesus Christ into their life? Not just for the season, but for the great reason. The Bible said he died that we might have a right to the tree of life. Greater is the he that is in us than he that is in the whole world. If you don't know this Jesus Christ, today is your opportunity. You can come by letter, water, baptism on your Christian experience. If you profess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, salvation is yours. We're getting ready to celebrate his birthday symbolically because he's already got up. He got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. If you want this light to shine in you, is there one man, woman, boy, girl? Is there one that will come today?
Let the light
sing, my sister,
from the lighthouse,
because I ain't got nothing left. Is there one? Is there one? Come on, let the light of God shine in your life.
Shine.
Shine
on me.
God will illuminate your whole household.
Oh, shine.
He will light up your car. Oh, yes. Is there one? Man, woman, boy, and girl.
Let the light.
I'm excited about what God is going to do during this season.
From the lighthouse.
Don't go into the new year with the old stuff.
Shine.
Come on.
On me.
Come on, we want you to fast with us going into the new year. We want you to pray with us. Is there one? Don't be ashamed. Don't be bashful. The book, the bell, and the candle. Let the light from the lighthouse. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Me.
Come on, one more time. Is there one? Come on. We'll wait on you.
Shine.
Can't you tell I'm glad to be back home?
Oh, me.
I'm not walking in the desert. I'm not riding on the candle. I'm riding on Jesus. Let the light, yes, sir.
Let the light,
oh, the lighthouse.
From the lighthouse.
That's it.
Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse.